Hey everyone, we're Joel and Lana, and this is the End of the Day show.
Yeah, today we kind of talk about ministry and church and work and the effects it has on family life and just our journey through that and growing in our relationship together and understanding each other better.
Yeah, we share some stories about when it has been good and when it has been not so good to do the sort of work that we've been doing over the last few years. So if you like the episode, we ask that you follow along, and we're happy to receive your feedback. We love the feedback that we've gotten, how it's been connecting with parents and married couples, and so we're open to that. And otherwise, thanks and have a great day. Hey everybody, and welcome to the End of the Day show. Today we're talking in all things work and ministry life and sort of the work stress that comes along with it. So let's talk about work.
First of all, what do you do for work?
What
is your job?
Job title. Yeah. I am the executive director of a Youth for Christ chapter in Landmark, Manitoba. Basically,
it's a youth center.
Yeah. I run a youth center, but I'm also the lead person within the nonprofit organization. So I'm the boss to a couple of part-time employees. I'm also the HR person. I'm also the admin person. I'm also the...
The lead fundraiser.
I'm also the lead volunteer recruiter. I'm also the lead trainer. I'm the lead supervisor.
You're kind of the everything guy.
I'm kind of the everything person. Yeah. But it is quote unquote a ministry job.
So it's kind of like youth pastor slash community outreach pastor.
Yeah.
But in like a...
sort of with the flair of small town pastor of a church. Because the pastor is also responsible for all the goings on of the church.
Yeah.
Whereas the youth pastor is sort of just a chump that hangs out. Just kidding.
You shouldn't say that. You've been the junior youth pastor before.
No.
You called yourself a chump.
I know. I am a chump.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just an interesting little job.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot going on, but it feels like there's nothing happening.
It's really community focused. Because unlike a church, which is very focused on the church to kids, really, like a lot of the kids that come are from the families of the kids that go to, or kids from the families that go to the church or whatever.
Yeah.
This is open completely to the community, where you have kids from all walks of life.
Right.
Or, you know, family backgrounds.
Yeah.
That are coming through your doors. Some are high school dropouts. Some are, you know, PKs. And it's just a really wide variety. Like, you're a PK.
Yeah. Which is, I don't know if everyone knows what that means.
Oh, pastor's kid.
Pastor's kid.
There we go. Yeah. Sorry. But so you just have such a wide variety of kids from different backgrounds coming through, where it's just more of a community center, really.
Yeah. It's strategically not a church.
Yeah.
But it is a Christian organization.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting little job. I love it. I do love a lot of parts about my job.
Yeah.
It is, in a lot of ways, the culmination of a bunch of different work that I've done along the way.
I guess kind of the first time you're actually getting paid to do what you love.
Yeah.
In a way.
Full time. Yeah.
Yeah, because you've had a lot of experience, like background experience with ministry work and just things like that, like being kind of a junior youth pastor, and, you know, we've done church plant and... all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I have this sort of ongoing joke where, like, sometimes kids are raised in, like, a two-language...
A bilingual.
It's the end of the day.
Yeah.
A bilingual home where, like, they sort of... they grow up knowing Spanish and then they have to sort of adjust to English.
Yeah.
Right? In a lot of ways, church is sort of my first language.
Yeah.
Like, I really have a good... easy grasp on what's happening at a church mm-hmm. on a Sunday, sort of within seconds of walking in. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not to like toot my own horn or anything, but it is just, yeah, it's something my family.
It's the environment you were grown up in, like you grew up in.
Yeah, my family was super focused on church. And yeah. so because of that, I understand a lot of church.
And the goings on.
Yeah. And so for a long time, I wanted to get a church job. Mm-hmm. And those do not pay well. No. And they're hard to come by. And
we have a lot of kids.
And we have a lot of to support. Kids. Yeah. And the church dynamics are shifting too.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, that's a whole theory. Anyway.
It's another story for another day.
Basically, I could be a nerd about church really quickly, really easily. Yeah.
And you really are.
Yeah.
Like, we in a lot first of ways. Started spending time together because you were tutoring me in a theology course.
I think it was like a history of church course.
No, it wasn't. It was the.
Okay, well, who was the tutor?
You were. Was it really that one? There were a couple courses that I was not doing well in Bible college. Yeah, it might have been that one.
Yeah.
But there was also like a theology course.
Yeah, it was basics.
I'm
not certain. I'm certainly not saying I'm an expert.
No. But it was like, it was just such an easy language for you where you're like, yes. Oh, this is easy. This pieces together. And I was like, huh?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I get to do and why we live in Landmark, Manitoba, is mm-hmm. because I get to run the youth center in Landmark.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's an interesting job.
Yeah. It has an interesting dynamic. Like, our family's pretty involved in it.
Yeah, really
involved.
Whereas
we really haven't been able to be super involved in your other previous jobs.
Yeah.
Partially because, like, I don't know, a 5-year-old climbing on a barge of wood chips is probably not safe.
Yeah, that would be true.
On the river.
A 5-year-old hanging around a sawmill is not a great idea.
Yeah. So, or, you know, cabinet making.
Yeah, place. Exactly. Yeah.
But it's the first time we've really been able to be involved regularly.
In a lot of ways. Well, I was going to say, in a lot of ways, we are a ministry family. Mm-hmm. Similar to how when my mom needed me to get out of her hair, I would go to church on Saturday with my dad to help, like, move chairs around or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we are homeschooling the kids, and you are virtually an unpaid staff person. Right, running all the social media and key event coordinator and things like that. And it is
keeping you on track
sometimes
emotionally, mentally.
Yeah, we can talk about that later. Yeah, but in a lot of ways, this is a big family effort,
Yeah, it's nice because the kids get to see what you do and. I think it's really fun for them because it's like the exciting part of a day. Like, we get to go to dad's work. And I know it's a little chaotic sometimes because they're young still. And so they're learning boundaries and learning.
How
like,
far can I throw this pool ball?
And don't get up and climb on the pool table.
Yeah, exactly.
And then throw the pool ball across the room.
For our daughters, they paint their nails there.
Yeah.
And they leave nail polish all over the counter. It drives me crazy.
But at the same time, like, there's a little coffee shop there, and so the girls are learning new skills. Like, they're learning how to make their favorite drinks and, you know, just kind of that fun extra little privilege that they get because they're, you know, they're the Flatland kids, right? They're just kind of growing up immersed in it. And, yeah, it's also cool that they get to see, like, it's one thing to grow up in a church dynamic where you see your parents in ministry in a like fully Christian environment.
Right.
Like that there's one dynamic to that that's really cool. But then to see like real life application to like everything that you are brought up being taught and learning how to portray that to someone who's not faith-based. You know, so they get to kind of see the different interactions and learn how to have a conversation with someone whose everything is not God, you know?
Yeah.
And so I kind of like that aspect to it too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of exposure to just life.
Regular life. Yeah. Yeah, and it really is taking sort of Christian faith out of the walls of a church and into, yeah.
Yeah, because like when I graduated, I didn't know how to have a conversation with someone who wasn't a Christian.
Right.
Like my one of my first jobs after I graduated was in the hair salon. And like you weren't allowed to have a religious conversation with someone unless they brought it up. And I was just like, I actually just don't know what to say to these people.
Yep.
Right. And so it's nice for them to be exposed so young just to doing life with people in general, you know, and outside of their like faith bubble.
Yeah.
Which is good, but also not, you know, like it's a controlled environment.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Yeah. It is. I was going to say interesting again.
Yeah.
In a lot
of. Describe your job. It's interesting.
Yeah. I do.
Carol, you might get yourself in trouble.
Here's what I can say. It is very much a job. So it's not, I'm not living the high life hanging out at a youth center.
Yeah.
I'm certainly hanging out at a youth center, but there's work involved.
Yeah.
Sometimes more work than I'm equipped to do.
Yeah.
But it is a very unique combination of kind of church work, kind of
social work,
social worker, kind of becoming like a professional friend to these kids. Like, who's the good friend in your life telling you to go back to school and stop skipping class? The youth center guy, Joel.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, it is really unique, and I'm really thankful for the opportunity to get to do this job and get to do, for me, sort of Christian mission work, without having to deal with the politics of Sunday morning church stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's filling the needs, right? Like whether it's a ride somewhere or, you know, someone missed a meal, you know, you're filling the needs that are needed.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. And it is, yeah, it's really rewarding in a lot of ways. And it's really, there's just a lot of like humble moments. Like,
yeah,
there's no big like youth rally moments or, you know, even on us from a church work perspective, like Sunday morning can feel really rewarding to somebody who's made that their job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. There's not a lot of that in this kind of job. And so it's needing to find a really healthy family life and a good work balance to accompany that.
Yeah.
Right. Because honestly, it can be really draining. And like my heart.
Yeah. And it can be all encompassing too. Like if you're not careful, it will take up all of your hours of your days. Right.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, because it, in a lot of ways, it's not just, it's multifaceted. There's so many different faces to what I have to do. And sometimes I'm more successful than others. But yeah, it's great. Yeah. Sort of, it's the reason we live in Landmark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We moved from BC and we're looking for a God reason to make Landmark home. Mm-hmm. And well, I wasn't interested in any kind of ministry job, church or otherwise, because
we were coming out of burnout.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah, after COVID, I think everyone was.
Yeah.
But I wasn't interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't looking for, well, maybe.
You wanted a different pace.
I was interested in it, but I wasn't looking for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, this job opened up sort of the same time that we were looking, and we believed that that was God moving. So we took the job and have been here for over a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying a year and a half, but it's been longer than that.
Yeah, in March it'll be 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy. Like, it, in one sense, it feels like we've been here forever. But then in another, it's like, feels like we just moved here a few months ago.
Right.
It's it's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think in that time, like any new career move, you sort of realize that it's not going to solve all your problems. Mm-hmm. And that there is there's concessions you make and compromises you make to keep a good job and to keep a good family dynamic. And I think we're finding ourselves making some of those compromises and concessions in the last half a year,
mm-hmm.
sort of thing. But it is, it's been harder the last 3/4 of a year than it was the first. The first year. And I think we're recognizing that moving from out of province into a small little town to become, somebody called me, a key community member at the fundraiser.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's this funny dynamic where, because it is a small town and because mm-hmm. people really care about what's happening, a lot of people know who we are.
Yeah, in town. It's crazy.
In town. Like, it's not...
Like, I feel like people come up to me and talk to me because they know who I am.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there going, like, I actually have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I should know who they are, so then I feel bad asking them, like, what's your name again?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, so we just had our big fundraiser.
Yeah.
Which was... It was good.
Yeah.
It was a good night. I think it was a lot of fun. It was interesting for me because I'm normally... like all hands on deck helping you with these things. And this year I was a little bit more hands off. And so it was kind of fun to sit back a little bit and just kind of watch it all play out.
Yeah.
A little stressful at moments because I just the like refiner in me being like, oh, that could have been a little planned a little better or, you know.
Yeah, we had our recap meeting today and it was like, I think I just missed Lana's involvement. In certain ways, right?
Well, where, I think it's because we're just so used to working well together.
Yes.
Like, we complement each other in different ways. And in areas that you don't think about, like, that those parts are second nature to me and, like, vice versa.
Yeah.
And so, we round each other out really well.
Yeah. But I think we're hitting our stride now
mm-hmm.
more than we have before.
Yeah.
Like, if we can talk about ministry.
Yeah.
Like, it's... as much as the job is not as easy as it once was, it's still a great position.
Mm-hmm.
But sort of the best part about it is when you and I get to plan and talk about things and dream about the future
mm-hmm.
and sort of what it could be and how can we make it more healthy so that it grows more.
Yeah.
But when we first got together, ministry was...
not something I wanted to do.
Not on the table, but on the table.
It was a big fat no.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that I had anything against ministry, per se. I had just watched a lot of families that were ministry families struggle. And I think that's, you know, it's unfortunate that that's a big part of it. But, you know, when you have a ministry job, you are generally really passionate about it and you care about the people and... you try to give as much as you can to that. And a lot of the times, if you're not careful, your family can suffer along the way, right? And I had just seen so many families, you know, and a lot of them were like youth pastors or, you know, young families that were new to pastoring or something along those lines. And this is going to sound judgmental. I'm just going to put that disclaimer out there.
Yeah.
But, like, generally, it was these families that had, like, 4 or so kids. And they were just, like, these ragamuffins running wild, you know? And you'd see these families that look relatively stable and put together.
Yeah.
And then you'd see these other ones. And it was always the ministry families where it was just like, oh, yeah, their parents are just so busy dealing with everyone else kind of thing. And I didn't want to be that family that had 4 kids and couldn't afford to even live in a basement suite kind of thing because there wasn't enough money because churches don't pay that much.
Yeah.
Right. And I really didn't want that. I wanted stability. And I think part of that comes from coming from a ministry family myself, where it was, they did ministry. It's a hard line. Like, where do you draw it?
You guys were...
I wasn't a missionary kid.
Yeah.
But I grew up in a family who ran missions trips. So it was still a ministry.
Yeah.
But...
It's a sort of different...
It was a different dynamic.
Different.
Like, yeah. Your whole life was church. My whole life was missions trips.
For 6 months at a time.
Yes. Because we ran one trip every 6 months. So it was twice a year. But like leading up to that, there was, you know, my parents are big planners and every detail is about everything. And so it was just, that was my life for middle school, high school and beyond.
Yeah.
Until I met you. But I don't know, like it's all encompassing, which is a good thing and a bad thing if there's not a healthy balance. And that scared me, just the instability of not having a consistently well-paying job or, you know.
Well, I think, so a couple of things are at play here.
Yeah.
One, my heart goes out to people who are working at church. Because on Sunday morning, that's when you're working.
Yeah.
But you also bring your family to work with you.
Yeah.
And that's when... Everyone in your life sees you and sees your kids.
So, like, another disclaimer, we are that family with the ragamuffins at church.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
but not in that sense. Like, you know, it's just like as a young person, like, you know, as a teen or whatever,
judgment. Yeah. And what I was going to say is like those families that you saw, like, as chaotic as it gets for me when the kids come to my work, like that's what families go through every Sunday.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's not like they become any less of a mom or dad because they're up on the stage.
No. Right? Not at all.
But like I would challenge anybody to be like, take your kid with you.
To work.
To work on a day where you're hosting an event for 100 to 500 people.
Yeah.
And then... that is the day everyone also comes and sees how good of a parent you're being or not being.
And life doesn't stop just because you're hosting an event. Like, if a kid is sick,
you're
still hosting that event.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be cranky and teething.
Yeah.
And you're still a parent, but still running.
So,
yeah.
In a lot of ways, like, Sunday for church ministry families, like, Sunday is sort of the hardest day of the week.
It is.
Right? And then that's the day everyone sees you. Right.
Yeah, which was the judgmental person.
Yeah, and so my compassion goes out to families who are going through that, right?
100%.
I think the other thing at play here is ministry, where that is also your source of income, or ministry where that is the hobby that you've chosen to engage in.
Yeah.
Right? And I think the ministry your family was involved in, it wasn't
like a hobby.
It wasn't income based.
Yeah.
Right? It was out of the overflow of your parents' work and your family life, you were able to lead these trips.
Yeah.
Right? Where a lot of ministry families find themselves, and I think ours included, to be like, this is the thing I love to do. This is the thing I am gifted at and, you know, spiritually feel called to do.
Yeah.
But it's also the thing I'm betting my income on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, like, it's just, it feels like there's just like layers of pressure that sort of build up on it. And then you try and host 400 people on a Sunday morning with church politics and this, all of the things, right?
And people judging.
And people judging.
Every move that you do. Yeah.
Those teenage girls who are supposed to be on the dance team.
The ones who say, when I have kids, they're not going to be like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
But, check yourself.
But yeah, from I think coming out of your experience, I could really see you not wanting that for your future.
Yeah. And we had conversations about this, like when we were thinking about dating and like we were pretty serious from the start. Like we didn't want to mess around and just like,
I think, we were serious from the start because we had both gotten
hurt,
burned in relationships.
Yeah.
Right. One way or another.
Yeah.
You know, even at a very young age, yeah, we were just like over the dating
game. The foolishness of it. Yeah. And just the, yeah.
And so we, before we even started dating, we had conversations about what married life would look like. And
we started as friends. Like, start yeah. that. Like, we started as well, friends.
Well, we started as acquaintances because yeah. you had a friend that I didn't want to be friends with.
And she, like, loved you.
Anyway. And I just didn't want any part of that scene. So yeah. we were acquaintances. And then our good friend Noah stepped in and was like, hey, Joel, you should pay attention to Lana. And I was like, okay, sure.
Because he was like a brother to me. Like, he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he took care of me. Yeah. Thank God for Noah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. But yeah, we were friends before we started dating. And
yeah.
as young single people do who want to do their life sort of in the Christian way of like,
there were just similarities
yeah.
in life and like the things that we wanted. And so naturally you just start to talk with those people yeah. and you get to know them. And then we just got deep real fast.
We got deep fast. Yeah.
Yeah. But you also listened to many of my rants because I was so hurt, you know, listened to my rants about men and, you know.
Yeah.
So we just didn't even really consider each other in the beginning.
We didn't.
And we really didn't. It,
there's no love at first sight in the story.
Yeah. No.
There's a lot of laughter and bizarreness.
And like goofing around.
Yeah.
And like we hung out in big friend groups. Mm-hmm. Like there would be like such anywhere from 7 to 10 of us yeah. at a time going on these big walks. And somehow we always ended up like paired up together talking.
Yeah.
You know, and it just always happened that way. But yeah, there was no like ridiculous chemistry in the beginning. Like some people are like, oh, I could just see them from across the room. Yeah. Like they're the one for me. But we just, it was like this slow
build.
Build, yeah. yeah. And then I got to a point where a friend was like, what about Joel? And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a really good friend.
Yeah. Christine?
Yeah, it was yeah. Christine. Yeah. Christine. Yeah. Yeah. Probably Noah. Yeah, it worked out.
Yeah.
It worked out. We got pretty good.
But yeah, just by nature of sort of who we were at that time and
yeah.
all of the things, we just decided to be serious about really sort of the first real relationship.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways for both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, as two kids who meet in Bible college do, they, you know, met in September, started dating in February, and got married by the next August.
Or, not that same August.
No. Yeah.
Engaged by Christmas.
Engaged by Christmas.
And then married by the next August.
But like,
so, like, it was kind of fast.
Sort of just, did we know each other by 2 years? No.
Not officially, no.
Not officially. Almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years.
Yeah. But yeah, so we got deep fast, and you told me you didn't want to be a pastor's wife.
I straight up told you. I was like, I refuse to be a pastor's wife. And you were like, we'll see.
Yeah.
In the way that you do.
Officially, I've never been a pastor. So.
No. So I'm, yeah, officially. We technically did have the role or the title.
Of a church that didn't exist.
Of a church, of a church plant during COVID. So, yeah. Technically, yeah. You ended up being more of a handyman renovator.
Yeah.
Than a pastor during that season. But it's been interesting because even in those conversations, I was like, I want like a small family. And you were like, I could settle for a small family of like 4 kids. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And basically everything that I said I didn't want, and you were like, we'll see, ended up being like...
It's funny the way it works. Because...
I feel like I've done a lot of compromising.
Oh my goodness.
Here's, I'm kidding.
I think this
I'm
is kidding. The nature of 12 years of marriage for us. Is I am initially very correct in the beginning in so many different ways.
And I'm just a hot mess.
But I'm correct very long term, right? And in the immediate to short to medium term, you are much more correct.
Yeah.
So I compromise my position and join you. And then we sort of journey through 12 years together now. And we come to the other side and we're like, oh yeah, life was great with 4 kids. And we do sort of like being a ministry family.
Yeah. we finally found our way to being on like the same page.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a wild journey. I've done a lot of internal work.
Oh my goodness.
No, yeah. I mean, like, you know, to go from this is absolutely not going to be my life.
Yes.
To like, oh, this is my life and I love it. You know, yeah. That's internal work. It takes a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you for acknowledging that.
And it's not that I forced you into a life that you didn't want.
No, like, you didn't.
I have tried every other career under the sun almost.
Yeah.
And then tried to do ministry work or very high level volunteer work at a church in my off hours, right?
Yeah.
And that is a hard balance to strike. Yeah. So this job, when this my current position became available, it was like, oh, we can live in a place that's theoretically cheaper. We can
theoretically.
Theories don't always prove true. That's theoretically cheaper. We could spend a lot more time together as a family. I could get paid for doing ministry that I like to do.
Mm-hmm. It checked a lot of boxes while freeing up more family time.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Yeah. Which was just, it was a...
That's what we wanted.
It's practically a no-brainer.
Yeah. Because you were coming from working, like, multiple different jobs to having no time at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, working yourself till you were exhausted and, you know, literally falling asleep at the wheel kind of thing.
Yeah. But yeah, we got married and as I did often in those days, just assumed I was correct. We've both done a lot of internal work. I just assumed I was correct and said, okay, well, we're going to go to my church.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have counted your feelings more and counted your wisdom more. But it was a good growing journey for us.
Mm-hmm.
But we were not on the same page with ministry.
We were not on the same page.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be honest, yeah, we weren't on the same page just even with the church that we were at. Like, you were kind of all in. And I was very, I don't want to say not comfortable there. It's just I had kind of grown up at the same church.
Mm-hmm.
A different church. And it was just different than what I was used to. And, you know, wanting to be the, like, happy-go-lucky girlfriend. When you said, hey, like, whoever I date is going to, like, come to church with me and my family. I was like, okay. And then I got there and I was like,
you're so handsome. I'll follow you.
And then I was like, what did I do?
Yeah.
I don't want to be here. So it took a while for us to sort that out. And just because you wanted to be all in with ministry and I was more standoffish and, you know.
Standoffish is a kind word.
It is very...
You were stand outside-ish.
I was stand outside. Well, okay, but for those who don't know, like, your family is very large.
Yes.
And for the most part, very involved. And like, at that time, of your family was going to the same church.
Yeah.
And it was kind of all hands on deck. Like, mm-hmm. if you're here, you're serving. And if there's a need, you're filling it. And like, that's not how I grew up.
Right.
And so it was very intimidating just being like, hey, Lana, we need someone to like fill in a nursery. And I was like, okay, I love babies, but like, what? Like, I don't know how to speak to a bunch of 1 and 2 year olds about, you know, little Bible story. Like, it was so nerve wracking to me to just be thrown into things that I was not prepared for. And that was just like your family's nature. It was like, no, there's a need. You're a body, go fill it. And I was just like, I need training.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. Tell me what to tell them.
Yeah. Not to say my family's way of doing it is the right way to do it, but it's the way that we were doing it.
Yeah. It's the way that you guys were doing it. And it was what worked for you guys. And I sort was of. It, sort of.
History told a different story.
But I came from a completely different cloth and was trying to fit into this, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, you came really from doing ministry out of the overflow of your life.
Yeah, and ours were in like short bursts of like you pour everything into it for these few months and then you take a break. Yeah. And then you get back at it and you pour everything into it. And it was just like there was a time limit. There was a...
yeah.
I worked really well in boxes. And your family was like, we're just all over all the time. Join the chaos. And I was like, what? I need to know where my box is. Yeah.
And so, I think that church specifically, I had such a desire to see that church do well.
Yeah, you had a real heart for it.
I think it's connected to the job I have now, where I have always wanted to see church engage in more community work.
Mm-hmm.
And a church that has a hard time seeing the people that are in their community, that's heartbreaking to me, right? I think that's just part of the way that God has wired me.
Mm-hmm.
And that church specifically, I still believe, has incredible potential.
Mm-hmm.
And so I care a lot about the city that it's in and all those things. And so, not to say I was more invested. Yeah, I think I could say that. I was, there was like sort of like, this is what Fortune Family does.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like
a heart investment.
I really care.
Yeah.
Like, I really care about the church not just meeting its church obligations, but meeting the call that God has for it and all of those things.
And it was a hard season because you were really limited in your hours that you could give. And like, you were probably one of the only people leading any kind of ministry that wasn't on the payroll.
Yeah.
One of few. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone was somewhat, you know, being paid for their roles. And you were just so passionate.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, we didn't have much, but you were trying to pour as much of yourself physically, financially, just to like get things up and running. And so then that was hard for me because it was like, we didn't have anything really to give to it financially or time-wise. And you were just so excited and passionate. And I was like, what about me?
Yeah.
You know, in my newlywed selfish kind of way, I'm just like.
Well, you were also a young mom.
I was also really sick and we didn't know why I was sick.
Yeah. But during our time there, you became a young mom and I wasn't the best husband. Okay. I was also 21.
You were young.
And this was an idol in my life. Like the idea of, if I could just get a job on staff at a church, I'll be fulfilled.
Yeah. Right?
And that was a broken way of thinking. And God has done a lot really to dismantle that.
Well, it was just an immature and naive way of thinking, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I gave more than I had in that church. And I still love it. But it created a tough dynamic in our marriage.
Yeah.
One that, if it not had been for your commitment to the marriage.
Yeah.
Like,
my stubbornness.
Yeah. We probably, like, a weaker person probably would have left me and totally blindsided me with a divorce at 21. Like,
yeah. I think if we hadn't have had conversations leading up to like our engagement and stuff about how divorce wasn't an option for us. Because I like loved you deeply, but I'm also a very stubborn person when I want to be. And I did not want to be one of those people. And I didn't want to be the person to up and leave.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to be labeled as that. I didn't want that to like follow me around. And like, also, how does that look?
But you also weren't going to become the good church wife.
No. Yeah. No.
And so we were sort of at this impasse of, I wasn't willing to change.
Yeah.
And I had sort of a naive... And, yeah, I had sort of a naive understanding of how this worked without really even considering where you were at emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And you were sort of stuck in this, like, circle of stubbornness where it's like, I'm not going to leave him, but he's not getting his head out of the sand.
He's not listening to me.
But I'm also not going to become the person he just wants me to become because he's not recognizing me.
Yeah.
Right? And...
we had a lot, like, together and separately, we had a lot of growing to do.
Yeah.
To make it work.
It is very much the classic get married young and grow up together.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. Like, we, and I strongly believe we didn't even really have, like, a young adult life.
No.
Because we had kids right away. Like, we found out we were pregnant on our 6-month wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
And so, like, there wasn't a whole lot of time to go out and do things with friends and do even, like, the church young adults life of, like, you go out and do dinners together. And, like, we didn't do that. We didn't have any of that. We just had each other, really.
Yeah.
And we were the first of our friend group, I think.
In a lot of, yeah.
In a lot of ways, we were the first of our friend group to have kids. So then that kind of isolated us even more, because as amazing as everyone was, I was kind of on my own with this new role of, like, wife and mother. And we were young, and, you know, you were so involved with ministry, and which I didn't know how to cope. And I was sick. I had a lot of health issues going on. Yeah. So, like, it all just kind of compounded and built up to the point of me resenting you and your passion for ministry and church work, which is, like,
which
was hard when I realized that that's what it was. Like, it sucked to realize that,
yeah,
you know, that was something that had built up in me.
But I was so wrapped up in what I wanted and what I thought was going to be my fulfillment. I wasn't considering the responsibilities that I had taken on by becoming a husband and father.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But God corrected that pretty good.
Yeah. And I think, like you had kind of brought up, I think it is kind of safe to say that there are multiple moments in our marriage where we could have been that couple that divorced.
Yeah.
Multiple. But because we chose a different route and we chose to actually work, and, like, it was hard work. And, you know, we probably could have benefited from some counseling, like therapy. Maybe one day we'll get there. But, you know, we put in the hard work and the dedication to work that out together and consider each other in all of that. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And so just putting ourselves back in those shoes of us, like, what was it, 10 years ago?
10 years ago? Or when we left?
Well, between the time that we were dating to when Hope was born, just after Hope was born, we left. Like, who we were then and who we are now.
Yeah. It's like 9 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So different. But similar in some key ways.
Yeah.
Like, we still obviously really care about building up the church.
Yeah.
And we have gone on to be involved in a lot of different ways at different places. But we've also never been what I had in mind as a ministry job. Like, we've never gotten there. Not to say we won't get there in the future. But it's been an interesting journey, sort of trying to balance this desire and passion for ministry work and wanting to make that my income, but not put you through the things that you don't want to be put put through, and being responsible to you as a person, right, and guarding your heart and all those things, and trying to be responsible to these kids and giving them somewhat of a good life, right? Yeah, not everything's going to be perfect for them, but...
Well, I think, like, part of the picture that I was missing when I was younger, when I saw these families that I was so adamant I didn't want to be like, was how much of their life was faith-based.
Right.
You know, like, how much they relied on God for everything in their life. And, like, that's been a big part of our testimony, too, is just how much we've relied on God for simple things like food sometimes, or you know, vehicles and housing, and that's not a part that I resent about our story. You know, it, which is a something that I would have thought I would resent, being, you know, the young person kind of looking at that and being like, I don't want that. I don't want to have to rely on other people for things that I should be able to provide for myself, kind of thing, right? But stepping back and looking at it all now, like, you know, you see the beauty of it, of, like, yeah, sure, it would be nice to be able to provide every single thing that you want to provide for your kids yourself. But then seeing the way that God knits community together, mm-hmm. and how really we are meant to do life in a community setting. Because in the areas where you fail and falter, someone else is strong and can lift you up and support you, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's just been a big part of our story, is how we've watched God fill the gaps. And we've had seasons where we've been in want of things, but we've never been in need for too long.
Yeah.
You know, like, he always makes sure that we have just enough, at least. Sometimes more than enough. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So I think it's just interesting, like, realizing how naive and whatnot that you can be in certain seasons.
Yeah.
And then being on the other side of it and being like, oh, okay, well, now we are kind of more a ministry family. And for someone who didn't want to be a ministry wife, I volunteer a lot of hours to help you with your job, yeah. because I want to.
Yeah.
You know, not because I have to. Like, you're not forcing me and dragging me along and being like, you have to do this. You know, you express a need. And I'm like, well, I can do that. You know, like, that's just kind of become our story now and how we operate together. And
we're so much more of a team now than we've been before.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Whereas, like, I don't, you know, if everything got taken away tomorrow, like job, career, house, whatever, mm-hmm. if that big Category 5 tornado ever hits Landmark, Manitoba, like, the only person I want to work with is you. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't always the case.
No.
There was some Sunday mornings where I was like,
why'd you give me this woman?
I need to get out of the car because church is starting and I'm late and she can stay here crying, but I'm going to go.
Yes, I remember your expression very vividly on those Sundays.
And what I should have done is, like, recognize the greater need in front of me and the greater responsibility in my life.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, obviously grown up a lot in those years.
Yeah.
And
that's not to say that we have it all figured out, because we don't.
No.
Like, we were just saying today, in full transparency, like, literally a year ago, we were probably at one of our lowest.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
We were at our lowest. Yeah. I was ready to walk out the door.
Yeah.
Like, it was hard. And it was, you know, in sense, we were both selfish, I think, or naive to the other person's needs,
mm-hmm.
or just blind to it, maybe. Yeah. Like, we hashed it out. And we're not a couple that fights. We're not a couple that argues and accuses. And I don't even think that was really happening. But there was a lot of hard conversations.
Yeah.
And a lot of very honest reviews, I guess, if you will, of, like, how life was going together. And,
yeah,
you know, it was kind of a season of, like, okay, enough of the BS. Like,
yeah,
we sort this out. Or we're done.
Yeah.
And
I think what was happening is we were living in a fabric of community in BC.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had people to help us and people to sort of cover our weak spots.
And call us out on stuff, too.
And call, like, us out on stuff, yeah.
There was just that, what's the word?
But moving here, I think especially, we had grandparents around.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then moving here, we removed ourselves from that fabric, right?
Which then exposed a lot that we hadn't dealt with together.
Yeah. And it was, we didn't realize that it exposed a lot.
Yeah.
Right. But we, you know, we eventually realized that it exposed a lot.
Yeah.
And sort of the frustrations that I had and the frustrations you had, they got covered in a multitude of other people loving on us, or
distractions
and stuff, where, you know, when you aren't really connected to anybody in a small town where everyone else seems to be related to everyone else, and, you know, you don't really have the means to go out and do a lot of things to keep you distracted.
I think it was also our financially hardest year
Yeah.
during that time as well. Like,
yeah.
finances didn't work out the way we were expecting them to. There were a lot of surprise cutbacks, not with work, but like other financial means.
Yeah.
And, you know, housing was more than we expected. It was just, it was really tough.
Yeah, the move here was not what we had planned.
It was almost like one of those grass is greener on the other side things where it was like,
yeah,
not really, but kind of like we had put that expectation.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, if we just get out of BC and move to Manitoba, life will be so much better.
Yeah.
Without realizing like, oh, all the problems come with you. The habits, they come with you.
Well, not all the problems,
but like, you know, the problems that you haven't really dealt with or, you know, like the little things.
Yes.
The little things that fester and whatnot, like that comes with you because you haven't dealt with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't, being here is not bad. It has not been bad.
Yeah.
Our relationship went through the ringer because of what we brought with us.
Yeah.
To a new place.
Yeah. And moving to a new place that didn't have those things.
And then losing that community and that support system and friend. Well, not losing friends, but, you know,
it's different.
FaceTime calls are different than like, hug me and hold me, I need to cry. You know, like it's a different dynamic. And when you're not in someone's daily life, you know, you just, you know, there is a distance. You're still close, but there's a distance that grows. So you're just not feeling that constant connection with people. And your job is, you know, it's fairly public. Everyone knows who the flatland guy is in town, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so it's not like you can just go up to anyone and say, hey, I'm, or like for me,
yeah,
it's not like I can just go up to anyone and say, hey, I'm like really struggling. Our marriage isn't doing well. Can you like work me through this? Because, you know, in a sense, you almost feel like you have to be cautious, I guess.
A little bit. Because
you're, you know, your job is, you know, you're working with people. And it's like same thing as like social work or whatever. You have your tight, closed safety net that like supports you.
Yeah.
Right? And I just struggled.
I think we can be totally open
with
a very small amount of people.
Yeah.
And that number shrank when we moved here.
Yeah.
And that stuff. Yeah.
But also because you're wanting to be someone who is supporting others. And it's not that you can't trust people. It's just that you don't want to unload that burden on someone else.
Yeah.
When you're wanting to be a support for them. I think, and that's just like a us thing. That's like, you know, no one put that on us.
Yeah.
And also just not knowing people really that well. Like it takes time to get to know people.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. We didn't move to a town where our best friend lived, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We had some family here, but.
Like, and we've made friends and it's been awesome. It's been awesome. But.
It hasn't been perfect.
It hasn't been perfect. And it has been hard.
We have a tendency to say, oh, it's been great. It hasn't actually always been great.
No.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's safe to say, like, it's also been really lonely in a lot of ways. Like, you know, just even kids losing their homeschool community from, you know, BC. Like, they had such a solid homeschool community and they don't have that anymore. And because they don't have that, I don't have the moms from that community. And, you know, like, there are just so many little things that you don't realize build up to this bigger fabric of, you know, community.
Yeah. Even where I worked, like, I was really lucky where I worked. It wasn't a ministry job.
Mm-hmm.
But there was three or four guys there who...
They were just, like, super solid guys.
Yeah. All people who sort of have the same priorities in life and they want to be good family men and they want to, you know, serve the Lord and serve their church. And, you know, it's, I'm alone at work, right?
Yeah. Like, well, you're the go-to guy.
Yeah. I'm the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, so even that has changed.
Yeah.
Where in BC, when there was moments where I was like, oh, this happened this morning, at least oftentimes there was somebody at lunch I could be like, hey, like, is your wife crazy like this?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they would fair. Say, yeah, it's normal, Joel. I'm like, okay.
Just double checking.
Because I was also sort of the young guy.
Yeah.
There, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so,
yeah,
this move has caused us to grow and I think become more who we are supposed to be.
Yeah. It's also caused us to be more in tune with each other.
Yeah.
Because, like, as far as, like, a really secure support system, like, we're it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're my person and I'm your person. And if you're not functioning well, then you lose that, like, strong support, right? And so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been interesting. And that's not to say that we don't have people supporting us. We actually have some awesome people. So, like we, yeah, there's some awesome people that support us. But it's just in the day-to-day living in a small town.
Yeah.
That was a surprising hardship for us, I think. Because we, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we knew what we were losing.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know our own weaknesses enough.
Yeah.
And so when we moved here, it was like, oh, these are the things you lost. It's like, oh, man. Didn't know that was part of the equation. And then it's
like deconstructing what we knew.
And this is the way you suck. It's like, oh, I didn't really know that either. Okay.
Yeah.
So I lost my crutch and I'm more sick than I thought. Excellent.
And I suck. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Got to work on all these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, all that to say, like, it hasn't been all rainbows and unicorns. No. Like, it's been a hard journey doing this ministry type job.
Mm-hmm.
Because and it can be taxing for you too, like, because you pour so much of yourself into it. It's not just a job, it is also an extension of your heart, and like,
right.
You love on the people that you work with, or that you, you know, like the students that you work with.
Yeah, there's some hard moments too, right?
There are some hard moments, and it's not like you just come home at the end of the day and you expel that. It's like, oh, you know, you're home, and you realize their home and their issues don't end when they go home.
I know.
And then you're home and being a dad and a husband, and, you know, how do you... You can't really compartmentalize that. And so it's just like... it's not a burden. It's like, it's a heart, well, almost like a heart burden, I guess, where it's just like, you care.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing, but it's just, you can't shut your brain off at the end of the day. It's not like you leave the office and you shut the door and you're like, okay, cool, I'll see you next morning kind of thing. It's yeah. Like, you take that work home with you. So it's been an interesting season navigating that and navigating our relationship and the healing we've had to go through this last year. Like, we've had to do a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of encouraging ourselves and each other and having hard, open conversations of like, hey, I actually need this from you.
Yeah.
And not in like a selfish way, but like,
yeah,
this is how I feel loved. I need you to love me that way and vice versa.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So it's been good.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a really good growing season, I think. But yeah, it's interesting doing the type of job like this.
But yeah, we recently had our big annual fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And so we moved here in March, and the big end of the year fundraiser is at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And the first one, it felt like a big success.
It was a big success.
It was a big success. This most recent one, not quite the success. Yeah.
By our measure of success.
By our measure. Yeah. Yeah. And there's been quite a bit of stress,
mm-hmm.
that I've carried and I've brought into the home because of work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always sort of sucky being the dad. It's just always sucky being the dad. But I'm struggling through bringing stress home and going through stressful times.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Can we just take a second and talk about why this fundraiser was such a big deal? So your job and the way that it's set up.
Yeah.
It's not like a big business or a company where there's all the funds and they just pay you your salary.
Yeah.
As your role and your position, you are in charge of fundraising for the organization as a whole. And your salary comes out of a portion of that. Like, you have to personally fundraise for your salary and have people come on board and catch the vision of what you're doing to support you. And so, like, these fundraisers are they're a big deal because it funds everything that the Youth Center wants to do, like providing meals for kids or, you know, running programs to then having people also come alongside you and support you financially so that we have a roof and over our heads and food on our table and, you know, can afford to put gas in the tank. So like that's why you had so much, or a portion of why you had so much stress in regards to fundraising, because it's not just a job, but there's also a fundraising aspect to it on top of your
role. Well, yeah, and it's sort of, the way it has worked is that we sort of bank on this end of the year fundraiser to do well. And just the way I wanted the program to grow, and we had some staff turnover this year, like my job just got way busier doing a lot of small things where I sort of lost track of the bigger picture, or I couldn't maintain the bigger picture. It's not that I lost track of it. I just couldn't maintain it because of all the smaller things that came up. And so I just felt like this growing cloud of just doom of like, what if this fundraiser isn't going to be great? And last year I had sort of the space because of staff. I had the space to sort of dedicate a lot more time and resources that I had towards making the fundraiser a success.
Yeah.
I didn't have that this year. And so...
And obviously I wasn't involved as much. So
you weren't involved as much. And it was like, okay, well, ultimately, things could have gone better. Right? But I don't know if I could have done more. And that's...
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's a very common Christian metaphor of, like, God multiplying the loaves and the fish.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all that boy had to bring to Jesus was the loaves and the fish.
Yeah.
He couldn't have provided more. He couldn't have put more hours back in the day to have brought more loaves and more fishes, right? Like more bread loaves and more fish. And that's sort of where I found myself over the last two to three days before the fundraiser, just coming to terms with, this didn't go the way I wanted it to go. And I don't know what's going to happen with the fundraiser, but this is just what I have. And God has to bless it or not bless it. Yeah. And it's up to him to do that.
Yeah.
And he didn't quite bless it like he did last year. And that's fine. Like,
it's... But, like, that said, it wasn't a failure.
No, no.
Like, in regards to previous years, you were actually right on track. Like, what was brought in was right on track with, you know, what had been brought in previous years. Like, last year was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It brought in a large number of support. Mm-hmm. And so it's also hard having that be, like, your marker of success to then being brought down to, like, the normal success rate, which is something we weren't satisfied with.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and so, anyway, I've just been carrying a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of the sucky part about anybody who's the boss, like when there's a big, you know, make it or break it sale happening at the job you work at, or a big product delivery you have to do. It's either going to work or it won't. Mm-hmm. And
you kind of have to answer for it.
You kind of have to answer for it. But we had some things shift around why we live in Landmark this year, right? Like, sort of coming to terms with why we moved here and how we moved here and all those things. And then what happens if the job isn't successful? Mm. And what happens if all of those things, right? And so I was just
all the big questions.
I was carrying a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason why it's been like, I don't know, almost a week and a half since we've done a podcast. But and I don't really have a conclusion more than just to say I'm thankful for the sort of team dynamic that we have found. Because when I have to carry a higher load of stress for a job or whatever, you're able to sort of pick up my emotional slack. But yeah.
And like, it was hard on the family front too. Like we generally don't buy cereal. We had cereal two meals a day for like a week and a half. You know, our capacity was kind of stretched thin, and you know, it was the reality of the season. Right? Like, there's just a lot going on. There's the fundraiser. That was a lot. And sometimes you're just in survival mode. And you have to give yourself grace for that.
I think also trust. Right? Like, there was sort of trust that the season wasn't going to go on forever.
Yeah.
There was trust that when I am incapable of being a good parent. You're more than capable of being a good parent. And we had to button up some things at home, like in the last week, we became a TV-free house.
Was not run past me beforehand, before the announcement was made. Yeah. But, you know, it's worked out. I'm coming to terms with it.
Yeah. Well, we were just having a lot of, with the work stress.
A lot of meltdowns and a lot of just chaos in our home.
Emotional chaos.
Emotional chaos.
Yeah. And we were using TV to sort of
babysit.
Cover up our weakness, right?
Yeah.
Because of me working nights and stuff means I'm not the first one awake in the morning anymore, which means that the kids are sort of left to figure things out more often than not.
Because it throws off the balance of what our family has been for so long, right? Yeah.
And so, yeah, we were just, it was so chaotic in our home for
A couple weeks.
And so, I don't know, 12 days ago or whatever it was.
It was only a couple of days. It feels like 12 days ago. It was like.
Well, it was more than a week ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Maybe.
But it was Monday and I called a family meeting at like 9 a.m. because we homeschool. And
what a way to start a Monday.
Yeah. And I, you know, within reason, trying to talk to, you know, four kids from 11 and under about like, this is not the family dynamic we want. This is chaotic.
We gotta button this up.
You can't talk to mom and dad like that. We can't talk to each other like that. We can't, throw banana peels on the ground.
Yeah. Like,
all those things, right? And so I unilaterally just made the decision that we weren't watching TV anymore, and it has worked out.
It's paid off. I will say, I don't know who was more upset the first day, the kids or me. Because it becomes like a mother's helper, which is not the greatest thing. The childhood you want for your kids is to explore and be creative, but then when they're all nagging at you, you're just like, just go watch a show, go watch Bluey. So it was a little bit of a hard adjustment, like all of a sudden, to not do that. But literally by the next day, like, we had just bought those magnet tiles or whatever, and the kids were all building these structures so well together. And like today, the girls spent hours reading, which they haven't picked up a book in a while. Like when they do, but it's been a while. And the boys were working together, and like, fair enough, the house was a little disastrous by the end of the day because there were the toys that they had been playing with, but for the first time in a while, it was all toys. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was a good thing.
Yeah, it's been good. That's helped sort of manage our kids' emotions, right?
Yeah, and they have been a lot more level-headed and, like, regulated. Like, for a while there, one of our kids has autism. And if you have a kid who has autism, you know that autistic fits are a thing.
Yeah.
And they can be very taxing and draining and exhausting as a parent because there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
And you don't know how long they're going to go on and how extreme they're going to be or what's going to trigger them. And, like, they were being triggered 4 times a day sometimes, multiple days in a row. Mm-hmm. And it just got to a point where, you know, we were just like, what are we doing?
No kidding.
Right? Like, we just, there was no break. There was no regrouping. There was no regulation. And, like, there hasn't been one of those fits since we took away TV, I don't think. To that degree.
Yeah.
To that, like, there's been some, like, you know.
Yeah.
Getting there. But
45-second freakouts, but.
Yeah. But 45 seconds versus, like, 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take it.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, yeah, it's been interesting. It's been good. I will admit, you were right. It's not hard for me to admit. You were right. It's hard for me to come to terms with losing Bluey.
Yeah. I mean, it hasn't been... It's not cut and dry.
Like, no, like, but now we have movie night, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Because they all want to watch the same thing together, because they just get to watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. There's benefits.
Yeah, it's been good. Yeah, so, I don't know. It's interesting navigating... We're trying to navigate what we think the next season is going to look like with our kids, with our job, with our marriage.
Or just even this season.
Or even just this season. Yeah. Because of what we've gone through and how we have learned to not just manage each other and manage the kids, but in some ways thrive while still doing the things we feel are important in life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And trying to think about what the next year looks like and things.
Yeah. You know? Honestly, it's really all in God's hands. Like, we've also learned that making our own plans is stupid.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it never turns out as good as when we just lay it down and say, okay, God, do your thing.
Yeah.
And, like, he always places everything together so beautifully and blows our mind. And, yeah, we're just kind of in a season now where, like, our life is literally just in God's hands. And we're like, hey, mold it. What does it look like?
Yeah. It doesn't mean change.
No.
But
it doesn't mean change.
It doesn't mean not change either, right?
Yeah. And who knows what change looks like.
Yeah.
Right? We have no idea.
Yeah. Excited, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All told. All told. 12 years later. Happy you're a ministry wife.
Happy what?
Are you happy you're a ministry wife?
Sure.
Sure.
It is kind of funny because I never wanted to do women's ministry or any of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like on the leadership team for women's ministry at our church. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. You're also singing on Sundays.
And I like spoke at the women's. It's just funny. Everything I never wanted to do.
Yeah.
It's like this condensed version of like, and now you're doing it.
Yeah. But it's funny. Like our lives have been so marked by ministry. Mm-hmm. But have you heard Jude talk about you singing at church on Sunday?
No.
He did this thing where...
This is new to me.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I want to remember the story well. So okay. He was talking about you singing at church on Sunday.
Okay.
And he said, he's like, well, I'm not a real Christian. I'm not like an adult Christian. And then he's like, and Dad, you're not either. What? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, mommy's a real Christian because she sings on the stage on Sunday. And I was like, yeah, okay.
Like, understanding it from his little five-year-old brain like, mom's involved.
Yeah. You know, mom is using what she's good at to help.
Serve God. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
Yeah. But it's just.
We do have to correct that.
We do have to correct that a little bit. But it is.
Let him sit on it for a little bit.
You know, this idea of ministry in my head and what you grew up thinking and what ministry looked like.
Yeah.
To Jude and to our young kids, like, they have never seen us really operate in those ways. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, I think it's different too because the church we're at now, like, they're there for worship. They're there. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, previously at our other church, we drop them off the moment we walk in the door and they're not involved in
big church.
Yeah. That they call it. Yeah. And so it's interesting for them to actually see us operating within the church and serving. And because it's not that we didn't do those things before, they just were never a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting though, seeing it from his perspective. Yeah. And how.
He's so cute.
And some of, you know, but even some of the decisions we're making in our lives.
Yeah.
That's going to impact how they view church ministry and how mm-hmm. they view, you know, what does it look like to build God's kingdom as a Christian?
Yeah.
And what does it look like to serve and mm-hmm. all those things?
Yeah.
And I think more than anything, I'm thankful for my current job because it is completely outside of the church framework in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's still the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that they actually get to see all sides of that. Mm-hmm. That they get to see the church dynamic, but they also get to see the, like, functioning within the community, mm-hmm. but doing ministry dynamic. Like, I think it opens up their possibilities too along the road. Like, they get to see all sides. And, like, and the girls have also seen the mission side with my parents. And so they're mm-hmm. just growing up completely immersed in a variety.
Yeah. More well-rounded than.
Way more well-rounded than either of us.
Yeah. Which is good, right?
Which is good. Yeah. It's actually encouraging now that I think about it.
Yeah.
We're doing something okay. We're doing something okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's
our wrap up for tonight.
Yeah.